Welcome to This Is His Story podcast. Ministries and God's stories you need to know.
Welcome to episode 28, Should Churches Ask for Money? Well, let me start with why I even picked this topic right now. And part of it is because I have a TikTok. Many of y'all probably don't know that, but it's sort of a hobby, job, slash marketing, slash I love theology. So I have a Christian TikTok channel. And on there, I made a post recently that got a lot of feedback. And I was just, quite frankly, shocked at the amount of what I thought would have been, you know, heavily skewed one way and went a totally different way. And I basically, the post was just a short, maybe not even a 10-second video, where I put the average percentage that church budgets give to their pastors. It was just a survey. Like, literally, I wasn't saying one way or the other what I thought should be the case. I was just stating, you know, here's the survey results. And it doesn't even matter what they are for this purpose. I don't even remember exactly. And I don't think I really gave a tone or an opinion, maybe in the comments, other than I certainly believe you don't starve your pastor. Like, you know, of course, you know, a worker's worth his wages, right? But the feedback I got was shocking. Even a couple of pastors' wives threw in their comments like, hey, my husband works like a slave, or we work three jobs as we pastor our church, and we like it. You know, or better yet, we didn't know we had a choice, is probably what they should have said. But there's a lot of churches or a lot of people out there who believe that, you don't give money to your pastor, like their pastors work for free or should work for free or should work poor. They should not have any money. And it just got me thinking how unhealthy the church congregations are. And part of that is this catch-22. The pastors don't feel like they can talk about money because it makes them feel greedy. So it's a giant problem. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So here's some things I'm going to say. And by the way, you may or may not agree. Like, I know one thing that happens a lot in Christendom, especially American, but maybe it's a worldwide phenomenon, but we're all listening with discernment. But the problem is we don't have the same discernment, right? We come in with some preconceived notions and we're listening to see if the other person fits what we believe. And then if they don't, in one little area, we'll throw away the rest of what they have to say because, oh, well, they're not of sound mind because they don't believe exactly like me. So just give me some grace. I'm going to say things you may not agree with. But I will tell you this. I want to challenge you. I always like challenging myself and the way we think, the lenses that we have on. And I'm okay with pointing out, observing, looking under some traditional rocks, if you will, too. So just once again, I'm not preaching to you, but I'm just going to point out some things as I see them. And then you can challenge them based on the way you see them. And maybe we move the needle. And let's hopefully move the needle in a correct way, a theologically sound way. And it may look different for each one of you based on your denomination, size of church, special situations, right? But there's some things that I see as true that complicate this issue of should churches ask for money or how should churches ask for money. So let's set the table. All right, here we go. First, churches benefit from a tradition, and that's the tradition of just give to your church. We all grow up being told to give to our church. And I know some of you right there inserted the word biblically tells your people to give to the church, but hold that thought. And we at churches benefit from the phrase tithing. Like, there is a universal accepted phrase that means give 10% of everything you own to the church. Now, I'm going to challenge that. Certainly, I'm going to challenge it. That tithing was clearly Old Testament, and the New Testament sort of raised the bar as the Lord likes a cheerful giver. Well, that doesn't stop at 10%. And it's not 10% is the baseline, everything else is above and beyond. But we hear that in church a lot. A lot of churches lord that over. They still use the phrase tithing. So you've got some of you guys doing that, and some of you at least are shepherding flocks who grew up with that wording and the thought that you are supposed to give your church at least 10%. Two, pastors teach, I believe incorrectly, that you're supposed to give to your church first, then above and beyond goes elsewhere. Now, this too, I have other episodes about this, but this too is not necessarily biblical because the Bible does talk about giving, and it does talk about cheerful givers, and it does talk about giving to kingdom work. But I challenge you to spend, if you disagree with what I'm saying right now, I challenge you to get back with me. I've done a lot of study and I've talked to a lot of pastors. And matter of fact, one of my pastors, he's a doctor. He has a, you know, doctorate of from seminary. And he says, I used to teach this when I was a full-time pastor. Now he writes books and does other stuff. But he says, yeah, it's wrong. It's just not there. It's not in the Bible that you give to your church first and then above and beyond elsewhere. I mean, we are supposed to be givers and givers to kingdom work. But the idea is that we owe our church our first fruits when the Bible teaches we owe God first fruit. That first fruit may land a lot of different places other than the church first. So, but once again, a lot of us are under the assumption because we assume it or we've been told by it or preached it and preached it a lot. Third issue, high profile pastors have not helped. We have so many pastors out there with, especially in the prosperity gospel, but even not all prosperity gospel, of people who are doing very financially well, and they talk about being blessed. They assume they're more spiritual. They certainly put off those airs, and they also sort of persuade people that if you give, you will be blessed too. And it's complicated, but it's messy. And it stains a lot of pastors from being able to babily talk the truth of the Bible about giving because they don't want to be associated. And I've heard that 1,000 times. A pastor like, I just don't want to say that, or I'm not going to talk on that because they're going to think, or I'm going to get this feedback from my flock, or I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, versus just preaching what the Bible says and let it land where it may, whether they like it or not. Unfortunately, that happens. Number four, churches spend what they collect. And if they make any higher, they normally spend that on more staff or to build more buildings or to expand their programs. And many of you are thinking, well, of course we do. Well, the issue I'm trying to make here is that there is no strategy. Strategy is based on the money you spend. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't think through what you'd wish. You have a wish list, but it's more like we're going to spend and we're going to build and we're going to grow to the level that we receive income. And that's a slippery slope because then you end up with a gigantic staff, a gigantic building, gigantic programs. And that's not necessarily good. There's an assumption it is. Everybody wants to, quote unquote, grow. But once again, a weird lens of growing the church versus growing the kingdom. I mean, remember, our jobs as pastors is to equip the saints for the good work that they have in front of them. And so, and to spread the gospel, right? A bigger basketball gym in your church so that your kids can play and not hear a league where other kids who might cuss, you know, is that kingdom work? No, it's not, but we can argue that later. All right. Five, many do this building staff programs in the guise of seeker sensitive, meaning we build programs like we need a pretty church or people won't come in. We need outward facing programs or people won't come in. We're building out programs based on seekers when the reality is that your people are supposed to be salt and light, and church is actually made for believers, right? Sacraments are made for believers. Our conversations are made for believers. And we have this notion that if we're supposed to spend money, build buildings, look away, act away, encourage people to walk in that building so then we can tell them the truth of the gospel, when the Bible is pretty clear that no, we're supposed to be out being salt and light as believers to our neighbors, and we're supposed to be loving people, and our pastors are supposed to be equipping us, and there's nothing in there that says bring the lost to your pastor and let them do the gospel preaching. It's not there, but yet that's how we're set up, which is very interesting, something to really chew on. Number six, there are companies out there who help churches because, isn't it funny? Boy, this is a rabbit trail. I'm trying not to go down. But unfortunately, the American church treats pastors as CEOs. And where God may give somebody the ability to teach, it doesn't mean he's given the ability to be a great CEO, a great leader of staff, a great, all the 10 different hats that people assume pastors wear. And some pastors don't even control their own household income very well. How in the world are they going to control the flock's money and their budget and the resources? They're just not built that way. You're not built that way. We're not, no one is perfect like that. It's just not possible. So there are companies out there who help pastors. And there's actually a very interesting position I'm sort of seeing pop up, and that is this. So if you're a church listening, in the nonprofit world, they have development officers. And those are people who look at the database of the people who give to an organization or are connected to an organization. And you can do wealth screening. You can find out which one of them are capable of what I could say, putting commas in checks, right? Writing checks with commas in them, big checks. And they put these development officers or advancement officers over the people that can give, and they build relations with them. They tell them why to give and whatever. Well, churches don't do this, right? They just, once again, back to number one and two, they just live with the idea of you're supposed to give to your church, any extra goes somewhere else, and you're supposed to be tithing. Well, what we're finding is there are some people who have income that are looking what to do with that income as they're alive, and then, of course, afterwards. And churches are taking this approach of advancement officers or development officers who help people manage their wealth. Like the church will literally pay for an outside service. Some of them are even putting on staff. I mean, we're talking mega churches here, but we're like, let's help you. Like there are tax breaks. There are things that somebody who's an expert knows that can help people give generational wealth to the next generation or to the church generation, you know, to the church kingdom work and growth. And it's a phenomenon that's going on right now because churches, quite frankly, have zero clue about all that, right? Because they just live for Sundays and then it's past the plate. And then there's also companies out there, number seven, companies that help fundraise for projects. So churches need a new building or whatever it is they want to do. They want to buy some land. It's above and beyond their normal budget. And so there are companies out there. I used to work with one, Generis. Great company run by a great person. And there's consultants that come in. They help churches raise money. And they're amazing. They do it for a fee. They don't do it off of a commission. Generis is just one of the big boys. They're the big gorilla in the room. But there's other companies like Pursuant. They are more for parachurch ministries like hospitals, universities, outside church. But Generis, they really try to stay in the church lane and they've been doing it for decades. And then there's people like me. I'm a digital fundraiser, meaning I help churches move from passing a plate into the digital collection of generosity. And it's funny with COVID, as everyone went online, I thought I'd be really, really, really busy. But it was funny as churches scrambled to put their service online and then wondered how they passed the plate online, they really didn't take the next step, which was the step I wanted everybody to take, and think through what your digital case for support is. It's not just, oh, we have a place to give. And look, it works. You type in your credit card and hit enter. It works. We get the money. But it's to help people building a case for support. Why should I give to the church? Because all these eight things I just talked about, those are facts. But most churches don't do a great job explaining why you should give to the church and give I mean, each week. I don't mean why you should give each week. I'm saying each week, since you meet weekly, you're either not telling a story or at best you're telling the same story. Some of you are a little more sophisticated and have learned to do project-based. Some churches don't like earmarking, so that makes it complicated. But, you know, how I work with churches is I have a lens, a kingdom-minded lens. And that's why, quite frankly, it's so much easier for me to work with nonprofits than it is for churches, because nonprofits have this mission. It's a mission. They know how to talk about the mission. Not all of them do it well, but it's easier to talk about the one thing we do. We help build wells in Africa for villages without, you know, clean water. And then we spread the love of Christ to them as we serve them, right? Whatever it is, we help homeless people in South Detroit. That's what we do. And then they don't normally do a good job of making sure all their digital channels tell the same story. And that's where I come in and help. But with churches are so busy talking about Sunday. Sunday's coming. Their staffs are built for Sunday. They have a rhythm to the week. Everybody just does what they do. It's ministry. It's Sunday's coming. And so they normally have to bring people from the outside to help them with a different lens, because everybody's in the rut of Sunday's coming. And churches have a bigger problem, and that is because they do so many things, and because they're, you won't like this phrase, but they're fundraising for church overhead. At the end of the day, it's, guys, we got to pay the pastor, we got to pay the light bills, we got to pay our mortgage. Like, you need to give to us. And sometimes it's more attractive for a donor to give to a thing that gets their heart going. Like, if they were abused when they were younger, they want to give to a place that helps abuse kids. And that's where sometimes their first fruits are going. And churches over here like, but do you see our pastor has a, you know, Cadillac? He's got to keep paying for it. I mean, you see this giant building, it doesn't pay for itself. And so churches are unfortunately sometimes in the rut of, they created a monster, they got to feed the monster. And givers are sort of not interested in feeding the monster. And so it makes things complicated. There's a way to tell your story, to get your members / donors / generosity givers into the kingdom mindset of giving, and out of the, well, I just owe you a check because it's a habit. I'm supposed to give you 10%, and then I'm supposed to give to other people after that, which is not true. So anyway, if you ever need any help, if you want to chew on these things, I'd love your feedback. And of course, I'd love to help. If anything, right here, put a question mark over your head about churches and how do we ask for money and why do we ask for money and what are we really asking for? What are we really doing? And need fresh eyes as your team works to tell your story every week. They're doing it on social media, whether it's volunteers or your staff, through emails, through newsletters, through what you hand out on Sundays, to what you put on the screen. All of it is telling a message. And with most of you, it's an inconsistent message, and it's one that hasn't really been thought out very well. And that's where I come in. So blessings. I'd love to hear from you. Get in contact with me. Go to creativedigitalguide.com, and you can get a hold of me there. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow on TikTok or Instagram for daily stories Christians need to know. Wanting to increase the reach of your ministry or your church's ability to make disciples? Come to my website for free resources and webinars built exclusively for Christian nonprofits and churches. CreativeDigitalGuide.com helps executive directors and pastors learn how to gain ministry partners to do God-sized missions.